My name's Kainoa Grespi. Should I say something about myself?
Yeah.
I'm a painter living in Honolulu. Graduated from UH a couple years ago.
So that's 2017?
17, yeah.
Well, that was undergrad.
Yes.
And so, okay, that was great. Okay, that, mm-hmm. So that now you have a job?
Yeah. I'm working at a frame shop, building picture frames, and then I paint on the side of that too. But I'm looking to go back to school this year.
Okay, let's talk. Let's think here.
Yeah.
Okay. How long have you been working on this show?
This show, I've been working on it for a little over a year, probably. For most of them. One of the pieces I started in when I was at UH.
Oh, yeah.
And then I kind of made a whole body of work branching off of that.
Tell me what you're thinking about this show. What were you thinking?
So I just wanted to bring the child-like drawing and have that be the main subject of the paintings, and then figure out a way using paint to legitimize that sort of simple way of drawing.
So it was a drawing, but it turned out to be a drawing of a thing, but mm-hmm. then it, when you look at it, that's what's not there.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing mm-hmm. is not there. Everything's there around it. I know mm-hmm. people don't understand what I'm trying to describe here.
Yeah, so I guess like the two main characters in the paintings are the paint, the material of the paint itself, and then whatever drawing the drawing is. And so the two main characters are kind of fighting each other to get the center of attention, I guess.
So you knew that you wanted to have a certain impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted, because like in this day and age, like there's paintings where people can paint an image, but that doesn't necessarily, like, it's not, like with everything digital and stuff, a picture of a thing is just as, here, let me rethink that. So with digital imagery and everything, paintings, in order for it to be important that it was a painting, the paint itself has to be an important aspect of it. Otherwise, if you paint an image, that same image could have been made on a computer. And so this was me making sure that the paint was really important. If that makes sense.
You were trying to make a painting have as much impact as what?
Not
like a superhero movie?
No. Just
practically.
Well, I wanted the paint to really stand out as a character that's acting on the image and not just a tool to create a picture. And also having the viewer be able to appreciate like the directness and freedom that a child's drawing can give you.
Normally we would feel that way because of the way the drawing was made. And a lot of your earlier paintings are like that. A very kind of childlike mark is used.
Yeah.
Not so with these.
Mm-hmm.
You got away from the mark. And you went to the paint.
Yeah. So I guess that came from like...
And then you excavated the paint.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so like it started off with the mark and then... Started off with the mark, and with layering and stuff, the paint would take over, and the skeleton of the drawing is still there, but it's not like a one action thing like a simple drawing mark would be.
Which is the first painting you made of all these?
The first was, so there's 300 layer paintings where they're each one drawing 100 times on top of itself. And so the first one was the house. It was a drawing of the house, and it was 100 times.
Talk about that more,
so,
your process.
Yeah, so those were, so like when people talk about like value in painting, a lot of times they talk about like the long amount of time that the artist had to take to create this detailed image. And then they would talk about like Renaissance painters would glaze over they're the same image in really thin layers of oil paint.
And like, then they take a little puffball and dab it.
Yeah.
And then maybe the next day they dab it again.
Yeah, yeah, to get that like glow. And so this was taking those ideas of like the artist hold up in the studio, dedicating a ton of time, but to one simple drawing that would layer over itself. And then that process turned into like really seeing how the paint acts when it's got the freedom to layer on top of itself and become like a three-dimensional thing.
So you started on a canvas,
yeah,
with a drawing,
mm-hmm,
and then you put another canvas on top?
No, it would be just a blank canvas and then the drawing, and then I would paint. So I would paint the background one color and then the drawing a different color and let that dry and then repeat that 100 times on top of itself.
Mm-hmm. What were you thinking at the time? What did you think? What were you telling yourself?
Well, I was telling myself that people would see the, with all the layers peeking through itself at the end, people would see the time that it took to make this thing that essentially was still a simple, easy drawing, but it had like a life of its own because of all of the thick material and the time that was evident in it when you could look at it.
Then did you cut into it or anything?
No, that, so there's like canyons and valleys between the two sides of the painting, and that just comes from, during each layer, I don't paint all the way up to the edge, and so as it develops on top of itself, the layers recede back from the background recedes back from the drawing, and you can see, you can peek through the layers down to the bottom, I guess. Yeah.
This was all premeditated, of course.
Mostly. From the first try, some of that kind of came out from reacting to how the first couple layers would look, and I wanted the final thing to be able to see all the different layers somehow, and I didn't want to cut back into it, so I made sure to not cover each one when I would go forward.
Did you think at all about how these might be received?
I wasn't sure how they would be received because they, like, when people look at paintings, from what I've heard in lots of discussions about painting, they're like really interested in composition. And these compositions are really boring, actually. They're just one thing right in the middle. And the drawing isn't very technical or representational. And so
you're not stunning us with detail or some scientific data or form this out of. You're not using the usual ways that people make their art important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're not trying to raise money for a thing other, you know. Why did these have such an impact?
I think people really responded to, 'cause I know that in my personal experience, when I see a child's drawing, I have like an immediate reaction to it. And there's like the freedom, and the child isn't bogged down by notions of like right or wrong or what it should look like. And then I've always liked how those drawings appeared, and so I think people were able to see that, but the materiality of the paint held it up to be like more than just a scribble that anyone would do.
It's kind of like whomping people.
Yeah, and with all the paintings laid out in the space, all together with all the colors and stuff, it had a really fun, like, playful quality to it that I think people enjoyed, I guess.
Yeah, fun, playful, and really obsessive. Like, stop at nothing.
For sure.
To accomplish some this feeling.
Yeah.
Huh, what was that feeling you were going for?
The feeling, I guess, would be one of my teachers introduced this quote to me by Philip Guston, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was a long time or many hours of preparation for a few short moments of innocence. And so that, like with Philip Guston's work, it appears on first glance, it's a quick, fast drawing, but
awkward,
yeah,
clumsy,
really naive looking. But then when you look closer, it's like he would have said that he couldn't have painted that without all of the preparation that he took beforehand. And like, you can't just do it one time right away and get it right. It's to achieve that innocent look, because I'm not a child, I do know how to draw, and so to reverse that and go back to it, I had to keep going over it until it kind of felt right, I guess.
Till it had the same impact, maybe,
yeah,
that the total, that your first very simple one would have had on you.
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe that's it. Do you ever feel you have to compete with superhero movies and, you know, like incredibly 3D graphics and all of that?
Yeah, there's that like spectacle sensation that people
are used to.
Yeah. And I feel like in painting, you can either like go full blown shock the audience, or like pull back and not have to concern yourself with that. But I wasn't really thinking about all of that, but I do think, like, I...
Can you care what people are going to think?
I wasn't able to.
Can you care?
Yeah, because if I cared what people were to think, the paintings would have looked a lot different, and I don't know if I would have shown them there at that time. Because, yeah, I just felt like I had no idea whether they would be thought of as good or not, but they were like the only paintings that I could have done at that time, so.
It's just so weird because they look like somebody was going for something and would stop at nothing to get that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And you got it in a way that is new to the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it so, you know, like maybe like a kid's girl. It's surprising.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, with each of the paintings, they all, like, I had the idea of what it was, but then when I would go through the motions of building it up, the final product, I always stopped at something that had that surprising feeling of like when you see a kid drawing, it's something that it might be hard to get to in the first try because of the, yeah, you can't really set out to make a surprising image. It has to like surprise you on its own, I guess.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I see you trying to subvert your skill in a lot of your work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the previous stuff, I would paint really skilled representation and then degrade it with the child imagery.
Put a little finger in
the
right-hand corner. Okay.
Or like a scribble over a landscape or something like that. And then that was a good way to get into this mode of working. But I felt like I wanted to have just the scribble be the thing and hold itself up without the representation holding it up and making it interesting.
So now that you know how to do this, I guess you're set for the rest of your career.
No, I don't know. I don't like to just get into a mode of making things for the sake of it. I'd probably be exploring lots of different things besides this. I can't get stuck into that funk of making the same thing over and over again.
You sure?
Yeah, probably. I'll definitely play with the ideas more, but yeah, I don't like to stop at one thing, so.
Whose work you liking these days? What are you looking at?
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Let's see. There's like the big names that you would learn about in school and stuff, like Philip Guston, or like the painters of like abstract expressionism and that. But then more these days, I'm just like seeing all of these different artists on like the internet that I like have never heard of, and then I just like their work. Sometimes I forget their names, but I know what their paintings look like and stuff.
Yeah.
So I get more inspiration from like that kind of thing these days, but
just scrolling images past your eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll like lock into a certain person and
okay. You can look him up. He's
another
cool
artist I came across was Bram Bogart. He was painting at the same time as the abstract expressionist, but I think he was based out of Germany or Italy. But the paintings were really, he would mix his own paint with like cement and plaster and be working with like gallons at a time. And when you look at the paintings, they look really small on a digital image because like the paint would be like globbed from here to here,
uh-huh,
in one mark.
Uh-huh.
When you look at the side, it's like a foot thick.
Whoa.
And then when you see it, uh-huh, in context next to a person, you can see how big it actually is, and it's really crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll show you a picture of
that. What did you mix with your paint?
These I was doing house paint mixed with different like drywall patching compounds and stuff. Yeah, that was another thing I was thinking of, because like with a child's drawing, they're using like crayons or maybe like watercolor or acrylic paint and stuff. And with these, it was like industrial, like really heavy material and stuff. And that kind of gave another element to it, I guess. Like there's like the person that says your child, like my kid could do that. And then, but with these, like the kid probably couldn't use these materials and stuff, so it's kind of like distancing from that, I guess.
If you feel you must.
Yeah, yeah.
Gee, so great, Kainoa. Thank
yeah,
you.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to add or say about this group of paintings? Because they're so stunning.
There was that grass dirt box on the ground.
Oh, you're the turf.
Yeah, yeah.
How
yeah
can I forget? I mean, that is crazy witty.
Oh, yeah.
But it's kind of, it's just so. Okay, what are you going to say about it?
So it's a box of dirt about like 4 feet wide. And it started from my mom. She had a patch of grass in her yard, a patch of dirt in her yard that all the time I was growing up, she could never get grass to grow there. And then there's the phrases waiting or watching paint dry or like watching grass grow. So that became the title, and I just wanted to like merge those two idioms into like this silly big object on the ground that was made out of paint, looked like grass, brought the two ideas together, yeah.
And was really fun to look at.
Yeah. Yeah, and just like the absurdity of having like a pile of dirt in the middle of the ground in the gallery was cool.
I think we're pretty sad.
Yeah, thank you. That was fun.